I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I've faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll.
Praise God, my friend, for that place of refuge and safety we have in Him. And praise God that we can be together again by way of your radio. This is The Voice of Hope, and I'm your host, J. Mark Horst. I hope you'll stay with me for the next half hour as we build up our hope in God and His Word. If you're a follower of Christ, I know you've experienced this. Sometimes the battles of life get to be almost overwhelming. I've felt that way too. It's during those times that I'm so glad for that place of refuge the choir sang about. But you know something? God never intended for us to stay in the fortress or the place of refuge all the time. Oh no, we must go outside those protecting walls and engage the enemy head on. And that's what we want to talk about today on this edition of The Voice of Hope. If we're expected to go outside the fortress and engage in this spiritual battle we call life, then we need some specific training to accomplish our objectives. God's Word, the Bible, not only tells us what our mission will be, but it also serves as our training manual. So let's pray now and ask the Lord to use His Word to better train and equip us for our battle with the archenemy, Satan. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in that name above all names, the name of Jesus. We thank you that He alone makes it possible for us to enter your holy presence. And now, as we look into your word, send your Spirit to open our understanding and teach us how to be better equipped to fight the fight of faith. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some years ago, the magazine National Geographic ran an article about the North American bull moose. The bull moose, as you probably know, is the male of the species, and during the fall mating season, bulls battle for dominance, literally going head-to-head with antlers crunching together as they collide. Their antlers are their only weapon, and often these are broken in their battles. That ensures defeat. The biggest moose with the largest and strongest antlers is the victor. So you see, the battle fought in the fall during the mating season is really won during the summer. That's because during the summer, the moose eat continually. The one that consumes the best diet for growing antlers and gaining weight will be the heavyweight in the fight. Those that eat inadequately will have weaker antlers and less bulk. There's a lesson here for us. Spiritual battles await us. They are inevitable. Satan will choose a season to attack. The question is, will we be victorious or will we fall? That depends on what we do now, before the battle begins. So here's what we might call the bull moose principle. Enduring faith, strength, and wisdom for trials are best developed before they're needed. You know, there are many spiritual lessons that are illustrated in the world of nature, and this is just one of them, but it is a very important one. It is the one we want to learn more about today as we look into God's Word. We're continuing our study from Ephesians chapter 6. Just like there are certain things the bull moose can do to prepare himself for the inevitable battles with his enemy, there are certain things we can do to prepare for the inevitable battles with our enemy, Satan. And our text for today shows us specific steps of action we can take to prepare ourselves. I've titled our study, Preparations for Battle. And our text is Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13. That's Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. Listen now as I read that portion of Scripture. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now let's highlight the preparations we can make to be victorious in the battle with Satan. The first preparation is appropriate God's ability. Right here, many of us professing Christians make a very strategic and often fatal error. We put too much confidence in the flesh, in our own ability. We think we can handle the situation. We think we have what it takes to be victorious. But you know, any seasoned veteran, whether an athlete, a soldier, a businessman, or whatever, will tell you that overconfidence is very dangerous. Why? Because it leads people to minimize or overlook the capabilities of their opponent and to become careless in the execution of their plan for victory. Paul, in writing to the Corinthian believers, reminded them, "Wherefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." And here in our text, he warns us not to overestimate our own ability. In fact, he specifically tells us to appropriate God's ability. Now, what does it mean to appropriate God's ability? Well, if you appropriate something, you take exclusive possession of it. It's not something you'd like to have someday. It's not something you're thinking about getting. It belongs to you now. We are commanded in this text to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, Paul uses this same Greek word like this, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Our ability, our enabling, our power comes from the Lord, not from ourselves. It is His power that gives us strength, that enables us. Why is this truth so important? Well, look at verse 11. "So that you and I may be able to stand against the trickery of the devil." We'll talk more about what that means in the second part of our study today. Further, Paul states that we should cover ourselves with the whole or complete armor of God. And in our next study, we'll look at each piece of this armor and its purpose or function in more detail. For now, we see the overall purpose of the armor as protecting us from the methods, the Greek word is methodia, that Satan uses to deceive us. And here is the crux of the issue. When we're deceived, we don't know it. Mother Eve relied on her senses, her intellect, and her emotions in dealing with Satan, and look what happened. The same thing happens to you and I when we rely on ourselves. We need to appropriate God's ability, His strength, His wisdom if we are to be victorious in our battle with the enemy. Being covered with God's armor is the only possible way we can withstand Satan's deception. The second preparation is appreciate your enemy. I'm using the word appreciate not in the normal sense of gratefulness, but rather in the sense of having a heightened awareness of something or being fully aware of its capability. Far too many Christians underestimate the enemy. In fact, a significant percentage don't even believe he exists. I'm reminded of some of George Barna's research among born-again Christians in North America. In a national survey, he made this statement: "The devil, or Satan, is not a living being, but is a symbol of evil." Then, asking that segment of his survey respondents who have identified themselves as being born again, he makes this statement: "Do you agree strongly, agree somewhat, disagree somewhat, or disagree strongly with that statement?" Well, the born-again population replied with 32% agreeing strongly, 11% agreeing somewhat, and 5% said they didn't know. Imagine, of the total number responding, 48% either agreed that Satan is only symbolic or did not know. Is it any wonder that many Christians are losing out spiritually? They don't even recognize that the enemy exists. And yet Peter warns us that our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And in 2 Corinthians 11:13 and 14 we read, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel." Now listen, "For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." That's how deceptive he is. I said earlier that we'd discuss the idea of the devil's trickery. Our King James Version uses the word wiles. Satan is a master of deceit. Thomas Brooks summed up Satan's deception this way: "Satan promises the best, but pays with the worst. He promises honor and pays with disgrace. He promises pleasure and pays with pain. He promises profit and pays with loss. He promises life and pays with death." Paul says in verse 12 that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. This is the only place in the New Testament where this word wrestle is used. Most likely, Paul's use of this term brought to the minds of his readers the wrestling competitions that took place during the Isthmian Games. Now, if we do not wrestle against our fellow human beings, who then do we grapple with? Verse 12 gives us the list. First, principalities. This word is used to refer to spirit beings who have a particular area of jurisdiction or control. For example, Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. In his position, Satan has delegated responsibility for specific geographic areas to his attending demonic spirits. It is this awareness that has brought about the whole concept of spiritual warfare and strategic prayer. Remember, Jesus said, "How can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house?" Then there are the powers. This refers to those who serve in the administration of the principalities we spoke about. There seems to be an implication of rank or status in these terms. These powers have a delegated influence that gives them their privilege and ability. Next, then, are the rulers of the darkness of this world. And here again, we see another division in the hierarchy of Satan. Thayer's Greek dictionary defines this word as an epithet for Satan. Lord, that's small letter L, of the world, Lord of the world, prince of this age. These rulers of darkness preside over the regions of ignorance, darkness, and sin. You know, it's sad, but true, that Satan used the Roman Church for many centuries to keep people in ignorance so they could be controlled spiritually and politically. They were part of Satan's hierarchy. Many other tyrants have exploited the powers of ignorance and darkness to keep people bound in superstition and fear. And then there's spiritual wickedness in high places. High places refers to the celestial regions, that is, the regions of the air. Paul uses this same term, high places, to speak about the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's chapter 1, verse 3, and chapter 2, verse 6. But here he qualifies spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Again, we have the allusion that wicked forces inhabit the air about us, roaming the earth. And the experience of the biblical character Job would support this idea. It is against these forces of evil, whatever their position, that we are to strive. These forces are characterized by things like pride, ambition, a spirit of revenge, error, superstition, and false doctrine. As followers of Christ, we are in a constant battle with them. Wherever we meet these forces of evil, in our own hearts or elsewhere, we are to make war against them. Now, I am not one who wants to glorify the devil, to magnify his powers, or give him unnecessary exposure. But at the same time, the Scripture warns us not to be ignorant of his methods of operation, so we can be prepared for any line of attack he may take. For most people today, the problem is not too much knowledge of Satan, it is too much ignorance. Again, I reiterate, one of the cardinal rules of warfare or competitive sports is this: know your opponent. Know his methods, analyze his way of thinking, review his past tactics. Know where he is strong, and know his strategic weaknesses. Above all, do not underestimate his ability to adapt to the situation and to attack in ways you've never seen before. Armed with this understanding and with God's ability, you are preparing for battle. The final preparation, then, is anticipate the victory. I want to assure you that I am not a disciple of Norman Vincent Peale and his New Age philosophy of the power of positive thinking. I hope that doesn't offend you guidepost readers. But let me quickly say that I do believe it is important for us to have a positive mental outlook. However, that comes from knowing who God is and not from my inflated opinion of myself. You and I will never achieve anything in life without some measure of confidence, but our confidence must be primarily in God, not in ourselves. So, as part of the preparation for battle, let's anticipate victory. Here again, Paul states his command to take up the whole armor of God. This includes both the defensive parts and the offensive parts. As I said earlier, we're going to look at them in more detail in our next time of study. But for right now, Paul states that if we follow these commands, we will be able to anticipate victory. The goal of these preparations is that we would be able to withstand the most violent assault of the enemy without defeat. The word withstand conveys the idea of putting yourself on guard, or of a group of soldiers in battle array. We certainly live in a time that could be characterized as the evil day that Paul talks about, yet we can have confidence in the presence and the protection and the promises of God. Our armor must be tested and tried. That is, each of us must prove by actual experience what this armor can do for us. Otherwise, our confidence is only theory, and theory does not hold up well in the face of a determined foe. We have the manual for soldiers of the cross that reveals the weaknesses and strengths of our adversary. It tells us how he operates in the field of battle. It warns us to be aware of our own weaknesses, lest the enemy exploit them. But one of the greatest things this manual does for us is to assure us of final victory. If we follow the instructions God has laid out for us in the Bible, we have his divine promise that, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." With that kind of a promise, we can stand firm in the face of the enemy. Now, having said all that, I want to remind you that while the battle is God's and the victory is assured, we do have a part to play. Notice what Paul says, that we are to do everything in our power to stand without wavering. God provides the power. Our part is to be the channel through which the power can flow. You and I are not merely pawns in a giant chess game we call life. While our decisions may not affect the ultimate outcome of the battle, the church will triumph. Those same decisions will have serious implications for our personal victory or defeat. Today, my friend, you and I are in a battle of epic proportions. I believe that Satan knows his time is short. So he's throwing everything he's got into the battle. And sadly, I see many professing Christians who are unprepared to face him. They don't know what they believe or why they believe it. They're going out in a suit of armor that they've never really learned how to use. They are too confident in their own ability. And because they are not grounded in the truth of God's word, they are very susceptible to deception. Well, where are you in this scene that Paul creates for us? If you're one of those I've just described, I have good news for you. It's not too late to change. It's not too late to appropriate God's ability. It's not too late to understand the capability of our enemy. And it's not too late to anticipate the ultimate victory. But you must prepare now if you hope to win the battle against evil. On the other hand, if you've been a faithful soldier of the Lord, you've seen Satan's bag of tricks. You know that he attacks in 100 different ways, and when you think you've seen them all, here comes a new one. But you have the armor of God. You've tested it, proved it, and found it reliable. You know what you believe and why you believe it, and you are standing against Satan with the full assurance that the victory will be yours through Jesus Christ. My friend, if that describes you, I say, God bless you, and may your number increase. Now I leave you with this challenge. Let us have a renewed commitment to encourage each other in the preparations for battle.
Christian, do not seek repose. Cast your dreams of ease away. You are in the midst of foes. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Wicked forces, evil powers, gathered in unseen array. They wait for your unguided hours. Watch and pray. Watch and pray.
Put your heavenly armor on.
Armor on.
Wear it always night and day.
Serve him and obey. Treasure in your heart his word. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch as if on that alone, on the issue of the day, shall be won. Watch and pray. Watch and pray.
My friend, I hope that what you've heard today has challenged you to greater faithfulness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I hope the song that the men just sang will encourage you. You know, sometimes I get discouraged when I see Christians laying down their weapons and surrendering to the spirit of the times we live in. I feel sorry for them because they're going to miss out on the rewards that God intended for them. If you've been encouraged in some way today by this broadcast, I ask you to write and let us know. One of our goals is to build up your hope in God and His Word. So let us know if we're helping to meet that need in your life. You can contact us by email using this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 1-866-960-9673. 0292, or mail your comments to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a copy of the teaching, Preparing for Battle, in print or on an audio CD. Or you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to the program whenever it fits your schedule or download it to your personal electronic device. You can also find Heralds of Hope on Facebook, where you can see a daily prayer request, read the latest news items, see photos, and more. Once again, you may send your request to our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Now, if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can mail your gift to the address I gave you. Or you can donate by credit card by calling our toll-free number or by visiting our website, heraldsofhope.org. Truly, it is God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I invite you to join me next week for another broadcast of the Voice of Hope. And until we meet again,
we bless thy name.
Yes, God.